Shamashti means universal, infinite, beyond the realm of sensory knowledge, cosmic. It is often contrasted with Byashti, which indicates a particular individual form, something definable by the minds of humans. Upasana means worship or meditation. It is derived from the same word roots as Upanishad, upa meaning near, and asana, to sit. And this was used in reference to the practice of the Vedic rishis giving discourses to their disciples who were literally sitting near, perhaps under a tree or some other conducive environment like the Devi Mandir. These dissertations have become known as Vedanta, the teachings that come at the end or the apex of the Vedas, the teachings of the highest union with God. Therefore, this Samasti Upasana, or cosmic puja, as we have called it, is the meditation or worship on the universal divinity, the infinite, beyond the realms of sensory knowledge, or all the forms of the divinity of existence. Pu means punya, merits, and ja means jata, to give birth. And puja describes the actions that give birth to merits. The action of the greatest merit is to guide one's awareness into the presence of God and to maintain that presence as long as possible. To that objective, this work is intended to lead us. Included within the Chandipat are three secrets called the most preeminent secret, the modified secret, and the secret of the manifestations. The first two of these secrets describe the origin of existence as we know it and the cosmic puja, worship of all the deities of the universe. The third secret deals with manifestations that are yet to appear and hence is not dealt with in the present text. It is from this Chandipat and especially from the secrets of the Upasanghar Puja that this cosmic puja is derived. Specifically, we are directed to worship on three levels. The first level of worship reveals on the left Mahakali with 10 heads, 10 arms, and 10 feet. Her 10 faces see in the 10 directions, the 8 cardinal points of the compass plus above and below. They indicate the 10 Mahavidyas, the 10 great forms of knowledge, personified as goddesses, Kali, Bagala, Chinamasta, Bhuvaneshwari, Matangini, Surashi, Dumavati, Triparasundari, Tara, and Bhairavi. Her 10 arms perform all the karma of the universe and indicate the 5 karmendriyas, or organs of action, the upper appendages, lower appendages, tongue, reproductive organ, and anus, and the 5 ganendriyas, or organs of knowledge, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin, with which all interaction with the universe takes place. Her 10 feet perform the cosmic dance of nature, Mother Nature dancing on the stage of consciousness, Kali upon the chest of Shiva. She originally manifested to take the life from 2 demons named Too Much and Too Little. Mahakali is the goddess of the divine balance, perfection in harmony with neither too much nor too little. In the center is the 18-arm form of Durga and Mahalakshmi, comprised of the unity of light emitted from all the gods. She is Mahishasurmardini, the slayer of the great ego. In her 18 arms, she wields the weapons with which to combat the excesses of egotism. She demands surrender of the ego, and no one is able to resist her. She cuts down the generals of the immense armies of egotistical thought, devoid of clear understanding, fickleness, disbelief, arrogance, memories, anxiety, blindness, violent temper, passion, the great deceiver, hypocrisy, irresistible temptation, foul mouth, wandering to and fro, haughtiness, the great frustration, want of resolution, the ego, and other generals as well. All meet their death at the hands of the Divine Mother. To her right sits the eight-armed Mahasaraswati, the slayer of the armies of self-conceit and self-deprecation, anger, passion, the seeds of desire. Because of her incomparable knowledge, even self-conceit and self-deprecation meet their demise when they encounter the Divine Goddess. Let us meditate to surrender too much and too little, to cut down self-conceit and self-deprecation along with their armies, even to surrender the great ego itself to the feet of the Divine Mother Goddess. When we are able to do this, then we can raise our perception from the first row, the gross level of existence, to the second row, the subtle body of existence. There we will be able to see that all that is perceivable, all of existence, is merely the dance of the three gunas, Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, and Mahasaraswati, the sattva, raja, and tama qualities of existence, being, becoming, and rest, desire, activity, and wisdom. Kal means darkness, and Kali takes away the darkness of all beings. She herself is dark because she takes away the darkness to herself. She is dark to the outside, but radiates light within. Kal means time, and E means the cause. Kali, the cause of time, or she who is beyond time. By virtue of the darkness of her time, she is the night of wisdom. She gives rest and respite to all beings. Of the nature of Tamaguna, she is the quality of darkness, the quality of rest. In the center is Mahalakshmi, the great goddess who defines all. She is the being of this existence, Mula Prakriti, the natural state of all existence, even prior to manifestation. Of the nature of Sattvaguna, she is being, existence as it is, the energy of activity, Kriya Shakti, energy in motion, pure light. And on the right is Mahasaraswati, of the nature of Rajaguna, the energy of desire. While Mahalakshmi is being, Mahasaraswati is becoming. Mahakali is the state of rest, the three gunas of nature. Nature's three qualities are light, wisdom, peace, activity, passion, motion, desire, knowledge, action. This is the second row of deities worshipped in the cosmic puja. When we can put these three attitudes into balance so that no one is predominant over the other two, then we can rise to the perception of the third level. Here we can perceive that this entire lila, the entire dance of existence, is orchestrated by Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, the three aspects of the one God, generator, organizer, dissolver, the G-O-D of divinity. In the upper left-hand corner is the five-faced Shiva, the consciousness of infinite goodness. His five faces are, from left to right, Sadyojata, who continually gives birth to truth. Bhamadeva, the beloved deity. In the center, Aghora, who is free from fear. Tatpurusha, that universal consciousness. Ishana, the ruler of all. These are the five attributes of the one consciousness of infinite goodness, Lord Shiva, who presides over the transformation of all that is. Next to Shiva is Durga. Durgam means confusion, and Durga takes away the Durgam. The reliever of confusion, she is the wife of Lord Shiva. Her other name is Gauri, she who is rays of light. She rides upon the great lion, who is Dharma. She is the energy of continuous transformation. Durga energizes Shiva in creating change. In the center is Brahma, the creator of all. He has four faces by means of which he sees in the four directions and from which he expounds the four Vedas. He rides on the swan of vital breath, the Hamsa, that makes our breath regular in the processes of pranayama. Beside Brahma is his wife Saraswati, the goddess of knowledge, art, philosophy, and music. She is the creative energy. Together, they create the perceivable universe. To her right is Lord Vishnu, who is all blue, the color of the sky, the color of infinity. Vish means the universe. Nu, to pervade. Vishnu, he who pervades all of the universe. The infinite consciousness that, while pervading the entire universe, is the universe. He protects the entire universe and is the circumstance of all the beings of the universe. Next to Vishnu is his wife Lakshmi, the goddess of true wealth. Lakshya means the goal, and therefore Lakshmi is the ultimate goal. Lakshya also means the definition, and therefore Lakshmi defines the creation and all that is in it, and at the same time she energizes it with the circumstances of each and every being. Brahma and Saraswati create. Vishnu and Lakshmi are protecting the circumstances of all beings, and Shiva and Durga transform all that is, even as it is becoming. Let's take a look at our map. The whole altar faces north. So we have the 10-arm Mahakali on the left, 18-arm Mahalakshmi in the center, the 8-arm Mahasaraswati on the right. The four-arm Mahakali, four-arm Mahalakshmi, and four-arm Mahasaraswati, the three qualities of nature, form the center, the middle row. And Shiva and Durga on the left, Brahma and Saraswati in the center, Vishnu and Lakshmi on the right. In addition to worshipping Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, Durga, Saraswati, and Lakshmi, Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, and Mahasaraswati in their four-armed appearance and with 8, 10, and 18 arms as well, it is customary in every puja to worship Ganesh, the Lord of Wisdom, the Guru, and the Navagrahan, the Sun and the Nine Planets. This completes what is known as the Panchadevata Puja, the worship of the five deities of Hindu Dharma, Shiva, Shakti, Vishnu, Ganesh, and the nine planets. Accompanying the goddess are a number of her entourage, including the Sarvatobhadra Mandala Devatas, the 64 yoginis, as well as her weapons of war, the nine forms of Durga, the eight forms of energy, the 16 mothers, and all of the dhyanas and nyasas pertinent to such worship. There is no end to the amount of systems of worship one might perform. If you perform this padoti, the system of worship, straight through, it should take at least 2.5 to 3 hours at the fastest and well-practiced pace. If you cannot sit that long, choose the mantras and vidhis that are most applicable to your worship and use them as a basis to create your own pujas according to your capacity. The objective is to dedicate as much time as you can to the exclusive concentration on the Divine Mother and her Divine Family. Through puja, we cultivate the habit to offer the best we possibly can to God, and to give as prasad, a sanctified offering, all that is appropriate to anyone who may ask. Puja is a way of life more than a practice. Just as with any desired trait, we begin by practice until the behavior becomes instinctual. We practice worship until our lives become instinctually an offering of respect, in which the most important criteria for success is the quality of peace that we are aware of at any moment. This cosmic puja, the worship of all the divine beings of the universe, is designed to guide our meditations into that quality of true reverence in which we actually pay attention, even go beyond into absorption, where union between the perceiver and the object of perception is the proof of the transcendence of duality. I'd like to thank Vitala Ananda and Janardananda for their invaluable assistance, and the entire staff of the Devi Mandir, especially our Divine Mother Shri Ma. You cannot know what the completion of this sankalpa means to me. For the last 3 years, I have sat within the Devi Mandir without going outside, every day performing this puja, along with chanting the entire Chandipath and the Devi Gita before the sacred Homa fire. And now I am trying to share even a portion of that light. Divine Mother, I bow to you. Please accept this offering. Swami Satyananda Saraswati, Devi Mandir, 1991. Here it is, 10 years later, and we are called upon to bring out a new edition of the Cosmic Puja. You can imagine my joy to be able to share the love of my life. Now spiritual people around the world are increasing the presence of God in their lives, and it is such a privilege to explain the mantras and techniques by which the rishis became established in God. Shri Ma joins me in our prayer that all the powers of divinity join to bless us with all the greatest goodness. As Swami Satyananda Saraswati, Devi Mandir, 2001. On page 12, we'll begin with Kushandika. Now, Kushandika has two different meanings. Actually, Kushanda. Kushandika is often used for an abbreviated fire ceremony. However, most properly it is used, and most commonly it's used, to mean a consecrated offering of mantras. Or with what mantras do we consecrate this puja? An introduction to bring holiness to the puja. So we begin with the Devta Pranam. We welcome all the gods, bowing to them with folded hands. It's called Prakshan. This is the Prakshan Mudra. And we bow to all the gods and welcome them. We bow to the respected Great Lord of Wisdom. We bow to Lakshmi and Narayan, the goal of all existence and the perceiver of all. We bow to Uma Maheshwara, she who protects existence and the great consciousness or seer of all. We bow to Vani and Hiranyagarbha, Saraswati and Brahma, who create the cosmic existence. We bow to Sachi and Purandar, Indra and his wife, who presides over all that is divine. We bow to the mothers and fathers. We bow to the chosen deity of worship. We bow to the family deity of worship. We bow to the village deity of worship. We bow to the particular household deity of worship. We bow to the established deity of worship. We bow to all the gods. We bow to all the knowers of divinity. Bearing in her 10 hands the sword of worship, the discus of revolving time, the club of articulation, the bow of determination, the iron bar of restraint, the pike of attention, the sling, the head of egotism, and the conch of vibrations, she has 3 eyes and displays ornaments on all her limbs. Shining like a blue gem, she has 10 faces. I worship that great remover of darkness whom the lotus-born creative capacity praised in order to slay too much and too little when the supreme consciousness was asleep. She with the beautiful face, the destroyer of the great ego, is seated upon the lotus of peace. In her hands, she holds the rosary of alphabets, the battle axe of good actions, the club of articulation, the arrow of speech, the thunderbolt of illumination, the lotus of peace, the bow of determination, the water pot of purification, the staff of discipline, energy, the sword of worship, the shield of faith, the conch of vibrations, the bell of continuous tone, the wine cup of joy, the pike of concentration, the net of unity, and the discus of revolving time named excellent intuitive vision. I worship that great goddess of true wealth. Bearing in her lotus hands the bell of continuous tone, the pike of concentration, the plow sowing the seeds of the way of truth to wisdom, the conch of vibrations, the pestle of refinement, the discus of revolving time, the bow of determination, and the arrow of speech, whose radiance is like the moon in autumn, whose appearance is most beautiful, who is manifested from the body of she who is rays of light, and is the support of the three worlds. I worship that great goddess of all-pervading knowledge who destroyed self-conceit and other thoughts. That Chandi, who slays the negativities of too much and too little and other thoughts, who is the origin of the great ego and the destroyer of sinful eyes, passion and anger, and the seed of desire, the energy that tears asunder self-conceit and self-deprecation, the grantor of the highest attainment of perfection. May that goddess, who is represented by 90 million divine images, the Supreme Lord of the universe, remain close and protect me. Om, the divine fire is the light, and the light is the divine fire. I am one with God. The light of wisdom is the light, and the light is the light of wisdom. I am one with God. The divine fire is the offering, and the light is the offering. I am one with God. The light of wisdom is the offering, and the light is the light of wisdom. I am one with God. Om, the divine fire is the light. The light of wisdom is the light. The light of devotion is the light as well. The light of the highest bliss, O goddess, is in the light that we offer, the light which we request you to accept with the offering of light. Om Aang Ring Kling Chamundaki Biche. Wave the incense. Om, spirit of the forest, from you is produced the most excellent of scents, the scent most pleasing to all the gods. That scent we request you to accept with the offering of fragrant scent. Om Aing Ring Kling Chamundaki Biche. Camphor in your arthricum. Om, all-knowing is the moon, the sun, and the divine fire. You alone are all light, and this light we request you to accept with the offering of light. Om, king, ring, kling, chamundaki, biche. Om, earth is a reservoir of nectar. All vegetation is a reservoir of nectar. The divine atmosphere is a reservoir of nectar, and also above. May all perception shine forth with the sweet taste of nectar for us. Om, the divine fire, the light of purity, is the shining god. The wind is the shining god. The sun, the light of wisdom, is the shining god. The moon, the lord of devotion, is the shining god. The protectors of the wealth are the shining gods. The relievers of sufferings are the shining gods. The sons of the light are the shining gods. The emancipated seers, the maruts, are the shining gods. The universal shining gods are the shining gods. The guru of the gods is the shining gods. The ruler of the gods is the shining god. The lord of waters is the shining god. Om, the infinite beyond conception, the gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body. We meditate on that light of wisdom that is the supreme wealth of the gods. May it grant to us increase in our meditations. Om, the gross body. Om, the subtle body. Om, the causal body. Om, the great body of existence. Om, the body of knowledge. Om, the body of light. Om, the body of truth. Om, we meditate on that light of wisdom that is the supreme wealth of the gods. May it grant to us increase in our meditations. Om, may the divine waters, luminous with the nectar of immortality, of supreme divinity, fill the earth, the atmosphere, and the heavens. Om, my rosary, the great measurement of consciousness containing all energy within as your intrinsic nature, give to me the attainment of your perfection, fulfilling the four objectives of life. Om Rosary, you please remove all obstacles. I hold you in my right hand. At the time of recitation, be pleased with me. Allow me to attain the highest perfection. Om Rosary of Rudraksha seeds, my Lord, give to me excellent attainment. Give to me, give to me. Illuminate the meanings of all mantras. Illuminate, illuminate. Fashion me with all excellent attainments. Fashion me. I am one with God. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to the Lord of Wisdom, the Lord of the multitudes. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to the Sun, the light of wisdom, along with the nine planets. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to Shiva, the consciousness of infinite goodness, along with the five primary deities, Shiva, Shakti, Vishnu, Ganesh, and Surya. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to Indra, the ruler of the pure, along with the ten protectors of the ten directions. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to Vishnu, the fish, along with the ten incarnations that he assumed. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to the Lord of all created beings. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to the perfect perception of consciousness. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to all the gods. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to all the goddesses. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to the guru. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to all knowers of wisdom. Om Brahma is in the shining light, or Kusha grass. In the shining light resides Janardana, the Lord of Beings. The supreme, all-pervading consciousness, Vishnu, resides in the shining light. O repository of the shining light, we bow down to you, the seat of Kusha grass. Oh, and we bow to the one of beautiful hair. Oh, and we bow to the one who is always sweet. Oh, and we bow to he who is one-pointed light. Om consciousness, Om consciousness, Om consciousness. Om, that consciousness of the highest station who always sees the light of wisdom, give us divine eyes. Om, that twice-born teacher who is always thirsty for accepting the nectar of devotion, O consciousness, you are in that highest station. Om, the impure and the pure reside within all objects, who remembers the lotus-eyed consciousness is conveyed to radiant beauty. Om, all the welfare of all welfare, the highest blessing of purity and illumination. With the offering of respect, we bow down to the Supreme Consciousness, who is the actual performer of all action. Om, these are the mantras of the light of wisdom. The creative capacity is the seer. Nature is the meter. The divine flow of waters is the deity, being applied in washing the hands and rinsing the mouth. Om, introducing the mantras for the purification of the seat, the seer is he whose back is straight. The meter is a very beautiful form. The tortoise who supports the earth is the deity. These mantras are applied to make the seat free from obstructions. With these scented flowers, Om Hring, we bow to the primal energy situated in this lotus seat. Om, Earth, you support the realms of the goddess. You are supported by the Supreme Consciousness. Also bear me eternally and make pure this seat. Om, I bow to the guru. Om, I bow to the guru's guru. Om, I bow to the gurus of the lineage. Om, I bow to the supreme gurus. Om, I bow to the Lord of Wisdom. Om, I bow to the Infinite One. Om, creation, circumstance, transformation are known by consciousness. Om, I bow to the consciousness of infinite goodness. Om, creation, circumstance, transformation are known by consciousness. And that's the Kushandika, the preparatory mantras before we take the Sankalpa. Do we have any questions? Yes, please.
In our tradition, is the guru's guru, Kali?
No, it would be Shiva. Well, actually, the Paramishti guru. I bow to the supreme gurus. That would be Shiva. And Shakti. Parapara Guru, the gurus of the lineage. Go back as far back as you can in our lineage of gurus, past Shankaracharya to the original seven rishis, go to, as they came out of Brahma's mind, and then go to Shiva, who gave birth to Vishnu, from which the lotus sprang out of the navel, and then there we have the Paramishti Guru. Go all the way back through the lineage.
Okay, and also the family deity of worship, village deity of worship, do we, household deity of worship, do we have?
Yes, there? Yes, we do have a family deity of worship. Our family deity of worship is Chandi. And our village deity of worship is Shiva. And who else did you ask for?
Household.
The household. Who do you worship in your house? You worship Hanuman. Each of you has a particular household deity that is your Ishta that stands in the center of your altar.
I see. Okay. And that would that be different than the established deity of worship?
It may be or may not be. The established deity may be the same as your Ishta. Some people have only one deity on their altar. And their village deity, their established deity, their household deity are all the one and the same.
So we have some latitude here.
We have lots of latitude. It's a definition of your expression.
And all that would be true for the chosen deity of worship, too.
Absolutely. That's your Ishta.
And mothers and fathers, are they all mothers and fathers?
All mothers and fathers, especially your own. That's a good place to start. Start with your own and just work your way out to get all the mothers and fathers.
This is a long puja. Can this puja be done standing up like we do in Peshawara? And I notice at the Danda Center they stand up at an altar. Is it always necessary to be sitting?
Yes, it's always necessary. For this kind of puja, yes, it is necessary to be sitting. What we're going to do is put our body, our breath, and our mind in a harmony and focus on the deity. And then with each mantra, we're going to define victory over the obstacles to our attaining complete and perfect union with the Divine Mother. So we lay out the flowers in the form of a yantra. And the yantra of the cosmic puja points to the yantra in the center, which is the same yantra that we establish inside, upon which we invite our deity to sit. So we're going to establish Chandi Yantra outside and the Chandi Yantra on our chest, and then we're going to invite the goddess Chandi to come sit in the yantra. This type of puja would not be done standing up. This puja is going to take us 3 hours or more. When we're accomplished, it'll take us 2.5 to 3 hours. So you...
He's asking small puja. You were asking small puja?
Well, I was just wondering, because we do the Nipeshwar and a lot of these same mantras with the flowers, and I know at the Vedanta Center when they do the arti, they always do it at an altar, and I just wondered if you can, you know, let's say you're doing a lot of sadhana and you can't sit another 3 hours.
You would not choose this puja to do that. You would probably do the beginner Shiva puja.
That one's okay.
Or the beginner's Durga Puja, which you could probably do standing up. I can't stand it. At least not that long. It's too much to stand. You can't stand for it. You got to put your foot down someplace.
But it just wouldn't be an effective puja if you did it.
Well, it would certainly be effective. Even to read it in English is effective. But it depends on what effects you're trying to derive. You know, if you want to have the fullest effects, you want to make yourself into a yogi and perform it from a yogic posture. If you want to have casual effects, then you can do portions of it standing up. I guarantee you, you won't be able to get through the entire book standing up. Huh. There will come a time where you just want to sit down.
Swami, could you tell us a little bit about the history and origins of this puja and at what temples it's practiced?
It's very seldom practiced. It's only practiced by hardcore sadhu type guys. And I have never seen this altar in any temple other than the Devi Mandir. However, it's described in the Chandi. It's described in the Durgarchana Padhoti and the Durgarchana Smriti. Many of the mantras were cultivated from Devi Bhagavatam, and a lot of the Padhoti comes from Devi Gita, which explains, especially in the 11th and 12th chapters of Devi Gita, they explain much of this worship. Many of the mantras came from the Purohit Darpan, which is the handbook for priests, and how to observe the various worship ceremonies on various occasions. This is an original compilation that comes into our tradition in accordance with the parampar that our guru's lineage, they worshipped in a similar manner, although every one of us has our own collection of mantras, so the mantras may differ in some respects. Please.
Sorry, but do you mean you kind of had to deduct what this book was going to be from the descriptions that you read from the Devi Bhagavatam and the Chandi, and you pieced it together?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It is authentic, though, yeah. And there is authority for every piece of the puzzle that's included.
And what about, some people said that it was practiced, Ramakrishna practiced his puja.
Yes, he did. There is no doubt that Ramakrishna practiced this puja. We have many discussions of it in the Gospel of Ramakrishna, how he was doing puja. Many descriptions of the pujas that he did. However, whether he, at that time he did not pick up this particular book of mantras and recite them all in the order that they're presented here.
Is this the only such book?
To my knowledge, yes.
So there's no other book in any other language that is the Cosmic Puja?
No.
Written?
No.
And so how did you know when you assembled it together that you got it right? Just because of the effect it had on you when you did it? It served its purpose?
Well, certainly it served a wonderful purpose, and it's still serving that purpose. But more than my own empirical verification, I had authority of various texts of scripture, which said this would be the padhoti to add at this point in time. Mm-hmm. You add this crumb. Now remember, a puja is constructed like an outline. So you say, now do the Kushandika, and we know exactly what we're going to do. Mm. Now we say, add the Navadurga Vidhi, and now we know what we're going to do. Now we say, establish the Yantra and do the Sarvatabhadra Mandala Devata Stapan, and now we know exactly what we're going to do. Whether it goes exactly in this order of events or not, these mantras were all cultivated from various sources. So I took one vidhi from one book and another vidhi from another book and put them all together. In the generally accepted system of worship, that is, before you touch anything, you want to wash your hands. You want to do ashan siddhi. You got to take sankalpa. There are certain rules to how do you construct a puja. And according to those rules, this puja has been assembled.
Did you ever meet anybody else who did the Cosmic Puja?
My guru.
Oh.
But he didn't have it written down.
But at least he could teach you.
Well, he had it memorized. So when I went to write it down, I found this vidhi was in that book and that vidhi was in that book. And I know that I am continuing in a lineage of disciplic succession because I have full faith and confidence he learned it from a reliable source as well. That is, every one of these mantras is, you can trace its history and how many evolutions it's made through the various scriptures.
And it's so rare that you would never have a circumstance that if you were in a temple in India chanting it, no other priest would ever come and say, that's wrong, because no priests have no idea.
They may, absolutely. They may. A real priest would never say, but a funny priest that are in many temples would say that's wrong to anything you tried to do. Simply because they believe, and they really believe, that they're the only ones who are qualified to do it properly and correctly. However, there are several iterations of many, many mantras. I've had pujaris question Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Deva, Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat Parabrahma, Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Deva, Maheshwara, Guru Reva Parabrahma, Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Now, the difference in chanda, there is no difference in the rhythm of the mantra. However, in some places it's Guru Sakshat, and in other places it's Guru Eva. And Guru Sakshat will mean actually the guru. And Guru Eva means only the guru. Now, there's a very fine line. Now, somebody who learned it one way would come up to you and say, it shouldn't be the other way. Maha Maya Maha Meda Mahasmriti Maha Mohacha Bhavati Maha Devi Mahasuri Maha Maya Maha Vidya Maha Meda Mahasmriti Maha Mohacha Bhavati Maha Devi Mahasuri. These are very slight differences. Instead, she's called the great Maha Moha. Sometimes she's called Maha Maya, the great illusion, or the great ignorance, or she who thrusts you into forgetfulness, or the illusion of attachment. You'll find in various scriptures the mantras are written in different ways, and various pujaris learn them their way. It takes someone with a universal outlook to understand that they're written in many ways in various scriptures consulted. So I wouldn't be concerned too much if people came up and say that's not the proper form of the mantra. We have a reference for every mantra that we have in our books.
Other than your own guru, did you ever meet anybody in India who performed a cosmic puja?
I did not.
It was extremely rare.
I think so.
But it has been documented, like you even said, the character Samadhi from the Chandi.
Yes, we'll read about that in the Devi Bhagavatam. In the fifth book of the Devi Bhagavatam, we'll read how Samadhi performed the Samasthi Upasana.
This book is a great asset.
So perhaps this may be the largest class ever given on the cosmic.
Perhaps.
Thanks, Mom.
That's true. How many people are in the class? Let's count at the end of the class.
Swami, could you describe or tell if there's a relationship between the three levels of consciousness of the deities on the altar and the levels of consciousness in all the flowers, the patterns of the flowers? Is there a relationship between what's up on the altar and what's down on the...
Absolutely. We work with three rows in the yantra that we're drawing on the altar. We work with three rows. So that constitutes the gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body. And we worship the various deities who bring us along the path. Each of the deities grab the devotee by the hand, and they drag him or her along, and then they pass them to the next deity and say, okay, you take them for a little while. They pull. Yeah, you know, they just sort of pull us along, reel us in.
Great grandma.
Swami, I have a question.
Please, Bahani.
I noticed that Lakshmi is in the middle on two levels, and then Lakshmi and Vishnu is on the the right side.
That's right.
And I was wondering why she kind of, they switched.
We had that story in the Chandi. Let me tell it again very briefly. Sarvas Adya Mahalakshmi Triguna Parameshwari. Lakshmi, with four arms in the center, is first and foremost. And she said to herself, I'm going to become three. So out of Lakshmi came Kali to give her rest, and out of Lakshmi came Saraswati. So the whole middle role emanated from the first goddess, mm-hmm. Mahalakshmi, in the center. And thereafter she said to Mahakali and to Mahasaraswati, let's each produce a pair, male and female. So Kali gave birth to Shiva and to Saraswati. Lakshmi gave birth to Brahma and to Lakshmi. And Mahasaraswati gave birth to Vishnu and Gauri, or Durga. And then they said, let's marry off our couples. So that Durga went to Shiva's house and behind Kali, the mother. And Saraswati went to Brahma's house behind Lakshmi, the mother-in-law. And Lakshmi went with Vishnu to Vishnu's house behind Saraswati. So that's why the couples are behind the husband's mother. And then the three ladies in the center stepped down to the front and became manifest in the world as Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, Mahasaraswati. Mahakali putting too much and too little into balance. Mahalakshmi causing the surrender of the great ego. And Mahasaraswati taking away self-conceit and self-deprecation. So they manifest in the world of activity, in the world of relationships. The subtle gave birth to the cause.
And then once there was the cause, there was a need for this?
Then it had to manifest.
Okay.
Well, all the conditions precedent to manifestation were present.
One quick, you mentioned the Kushandika was also used an abbreviated form of the fire ceremony.
Yes, like Agnihotra.
Okay, yeah, so they would use that and then maybe the Sankalpa, and that'd be sort of a complete, a small fire ceremony.
Many times they do an Agnihotra in the puja or before the puja.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes it says complete Kushandika and then perform the puja. And that could mean either bow to all the gods and consecrate all the mantras and establish the divinity of your temple before proceeding with the puja, or it could mean invite the divine fire who apportions each of the gods his portion, and then you can worship the gods individually. It has two meanings. In our tradition, we use it to mean consecration of mantras. But I was concerned about the evolution of the term. Kush would mean gladness. Andika would be the ultimate gladness. Invite the ultimate gladness. Bow to God. That's the derivation of the term.
Are there special pranayams that go with all of these? I mean, you do one breath when you offer a flower, or do you try to do many?
I usually do all of the flowers in one breath.
One is one breath.
No, I do one breath for all the flowers.
And Devata Pranam?
I do the Devata Pranam in one breath, and then I do all the flowers in one breath.
And every flower on that altar?
Seven. Huh?
Every flower on that altar, you give in one breath?
It comes in sets.
No, in sets. So it depends on the vidhi. For example, Navadurga or the 16 mantrikas, I'll do one breath per flower. But maybe some flowers have three mantras. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be concerned too much with that. Just maintain the rhythm of the chant. And then you'll be able to continue with the pranayama. It will grow. Are there other...
One more question,
please?
About lineage. I think the answer is probably obvious, but where did your guru learn the cosmic puja from?
His guru lived in Uttarkashi.
Okay.
not Guptakashi, Uttarkashi. And his guru's name was Chinmoyananda.
So it's just been passed down in his guru's, in that one guru tradition?
I don't know every other guru tradition, so I can't tell you what pujas they teach. But I've never seen it performed in any other place, and I know of no other temple like this.
And I guess we know of no disciple of Ramakrishna who continued that.
No. We do know that Belur Mott made a very simple Ramakrishna puja, which is a very small portion of this book. We also know that Kriya Yoga people took the Bhuta Shuddhi and they took it as one technique. That other groups have taken one vidhi from this puja and packaged it as a technique. But I don't know of any other group or any other tradition that does the entire puja every day. Even in the handbook for priests, it's often advised to do a portion, some of these pujas on one day and others on another day. When I took the tradition and was looking up the mantras and the instructions for them, I was surprised to see that they suggested one portion of the puja one day and another portion of the puja another day. And we do the entire puja every day. Mahabir, you had another question?
Yeah. Who is Indra in Narayana?
Indra is the Lord of Heaven. He's the ruler of the pure. He is the king of the gods. The gods are all the purest illuminated beings that we could aspire to become like. Dev means to shine, and the devas are the shining ones. In English, we use the term gods to indicate they are highly venerated, highly respected examples of how we want our illumination to radiate. Indra is their ruler or their king, and so he's the ruler of the pure. He lives in the east, so he is the first one invoked when the rising sun approaches, because we all face the east to see the rising sun. That's where the Adhara Shakti comes at sunrise, the primary energy. Indra also lives in the Muladhara. His Bija mantra is Lam, and he stands for all manifested existence. There are lots of stories we can tell about Indra because he became very famous amongst the gods. One of the stories, he got into a little altercation with Krishna. He started to make it rain. Actually, Krishna said, "Why are you all worshiping Indra?" And the people of the village said, "He brings the rain." And Krishna said, "We shouldn't worship him and give him a bribe so he'll give the rain. He brings the rain because that's his nature. It's according to the laws of nature that the rain will fall." So Krishna suggested, instead of worshiping Indra, we should all worship the cow. We should worship cows because cows give and give and give, and they take just the smallest necessity. They're the most productive of beings. They give us the clarity and purity, which is pure white nourishment, and we get panchagabhya. We get all the products from the cow, milk and ghee and yogurt. They come from the cow, and with that we nourish our families. Let's worship the cow instead of Indra. And Indra got mad. And he said, "I'm going to make it rain until it washes you guys away. I'm going to wash your whole puja away."
We need now.
Let's worship cows.
And so.
Our peacock.
We could worship peacocks. What do they give, huh?
Oh, don't mention it.
More peacocks.
No. No. Uh-oh.
They give beauty.
Okay, so Indra started to make it rain, and the people of Gokul, they said, "We're doomed. We insulted Indra, and now he's mad at us. And who's going to save us? We're all going to be washed away." And Giridhar, Gopal, Krishna went over and he picked up Govardhan with one finger and he held it up in the air like an umbrella. And he said, everybody come underneath the mountain with your cows and all your animals. And everybody stood underneath the mountain and he held it up with one finger as an umbrella. And Indra made it rain and rain and rain, and Krishna didn't get tired of holding up the mountain. Indra got tired of making, he apologized to Krishna. And Krishna said, because you were so arrogant, your worship is not going to be widespread anymore. In the Kali Yuga, there will be many people who will never have heard of Indra. But because you humbled yourself and you gave in of your own accord, I'm giving you a blessing. So Krishna gave him the blessing that he would always remain the friend of Arjuna. He would become the father of Arjuna.
He was incarnated as Pandu then?
No.
Or just, he was considered the father of Arjuna?
Yeah, he was the father of Arjuna because he gave his part. Remember, Pandu couldn't have children. Pandu was cursed by the Rishi. If he ever touched a woman, he would die immediately. Kunti in her childhood had pleased Durvasa Rishi. And Durvasa said, I'm going to give you a boon. And Kunti said, I don't know what to ask for. You see, I'm just this young girl, and I have no idea what the future is going to bring me. You are Trikaldasi, Durvasa Muni. You can see past, present, and future. You give me the blessing that will be most beneficial to me in my future. And Durvasa said, I'm giving you a mantra, and by that mantra you can call any god, and by that god you will become pregnant. And Kunti said, what kind of a blessing is that? I'm a princess. I'm going to marry a prince. I'm going to become a queen. Why will I need him to call any god to get pregnant? And Durvasa said, I gave you the blessing I gave you. And you all remember the story of Mahabharata. Kunti went home and she said, what kind of a blessing was that? Does it really work? I wonder if it's true. And she looked up at the sun, and just then, without thinking, she said the mantra. And the sun came and gave her a baby. Mm-hmm. And that was Karn. Well, she thought, I'm a Kumari, I'm a virgin girl, I'm a princess. What am I going to do with this baby? How am I going to explain this to the whole family? She put the baby in a basket and pushed it down the river. This was several centuries before Moses.